Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray together. Almighty God, in this moment, we want to be aware of your presence. May your Spirit fill our hearts and make us completely present here in this moment. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the opportunity to lift up our voices in praise. We thank you for the forgiveness we again receive today. We thank you for the opportunity later to sit at the table with our Lord Jesus. But now we want you to speak to us through your word. So please prepare the way for us to receive the message as we ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Christmas is kind of a big deal in Finland. I mean, it's a big deal everywhere if you think about it, but there's a great tradition in Finland that happens every year. In fact, it happened almost every year since the 1300s. And it's a tradition that's been going on for more than 700 years. And it's called the Declaration of Christmas Peace. So each year at noon on Christmas Eve, the Christmas peace is declared in the city of Turku. And the proclamation is read, usually by a city official from the balcony of an historic mansion at the center of town in the old Grand Square. And it's broadcast on radio and television. And of course, today you can stream it on the internet. And the declaration serves as a reminder and encouragement to spend the holiday, listen to this, in harmony. To threaten offenders with harsh punishments, and to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. So you'd better not mess with the Finns' Christmas peace and harmony, okay? Otherwise, you will be harshly punished. I mean, but what a great way, really, to usher in Christmas with a reminder of Christ's coming and the peace that he brings into the world. Today is the second Sunday in Advent, and so we are waiting and we're expecting and we're anticipating the coming, the arrival of Jesus Christ. Advent is our opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, the Savior, and to celebrate his birth, and to also be alert for his second coming, when Jesus will return for his people and his kingdom will fully come. And so in the lead up to Christmas this year, we are each week focusing on a different attribute of God represented in the coming of Jesus. Last Sunday, Ed shared a message on hope. And in our daily devotional readings this past week, we focused on hope in the midst of our uncertainties. And I hope you are reading along and that you're going a little deeper with those daily readings. The link is on our website, or if you're not on our email list and want to receive it by email, simply let the church office know, and I'm sure Madeline would be happy to send the reading out to you. But today, we will prayerfully rediscover peace. We want to find peace in our struggles. So, when we think of peace embodied in the Christmas story, I mean, we can't help but think of this story we just heard of the shepherds. You know, they were unlikely recipients of God's message of peace. What we have in this passage is kind of like God's birth announcement to the world. And what a way to announce a long-awaited event that happened in such an unexpected way. Suddenly, in the middle of a dark and ordinary night in the Bethlehem countryside, an angel appears in the sky, and then the angel is joined by a sky full of angels. It must have been a glorious sight, but at the same time also a terrifying sight. I mean, just imagine that. And then there's the sound. All these angels are together praising God, probably singing. It says in the Message paraphrase, at once the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. Glory to God in the heavenly heights. Peace to all men and women on earth who please Him. An army of angels singing praise God in heaven and peace on earth to everyone who pleases God. And the audience for this grand announcement and amazing angelic show must have been the most important VIPs and the rich and the famous and the powerful, don't you think? The kings and the queens and the movers and shakers of the world, right? No. What we see is that the audience is those shepherds. Those completely ordinary, average Joe, night shift working animal tenders. They are the unlikely and unexpected recipients of this message of peace and wholeness and God's favor. And so again, God is flipping the script of what we humans would expect and plan and do if it were up to us to save the world. God is doing it in a different and unexpected way. So why the shepherds? I mean, why the shepherds of all people? Why did God choose to make the announcement to them? To these completely ordinary, unassuming workers? Maybe it's because the shepherds remind us that the patriarchs of Israel were shepherds. They were nomadic animal tenders. Abram, Isaac, Jacob, they were all roaming ranchers of the ancient world. David, Israel's greatest king ever, was first a shepherd as well, remember? Maybe it's because the shepherds were nothing special. They had no entitlement, no pride or arrogance, no religious grandstanding. They kind of fit right into this process of how God decided to introduce the Messiah, a humble carpenter and a peasant girl, as parents of the Son of God, a birth in a lowly stable surrounded by stinking animals. And shepherds were really the have-nots. They fit into how God was raising and using the humble and turning the world as we know it on its head. Those considered by society to be the most holy weren't given a place in the stable to kneel on holy ground and witness the arrival of the Messiah. Or maybe the shepherds were at the birth announcement to signify Jesus' future ministry and his teaching. Sheep might have been lowly animals, but they were very special animals in Jewish culture. The Passover lamb was the sacrifice an ancient Jew would make during the most important holiday, and its blood was the atonement for a person's sins, the cost that had to be paid to restore a person with God. And each time it was done, this sacrifice was a reminder of the original Passover and God's rescue and exodus of his people from Egypt. And then you and I know that Jesus was entering our world to fulfill his identity as the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. He was the ultimate sacrifice and payment for our sins. His death did away with the need for these sacrificial lambs. His resurrection made it possible for us to be fully restored in our relationship with God. His life made it possible for us to experience true peace, shalom in the Hebrew language and culture. The word and concept that encapsulate the completeness and wholeness of God's original creation, shalom. And maybe it's because of all of these reasons that God sent his angelic messengers to announce the birth of his son to the shepherds. Because you see, God's favor is not based on human standards. And his peace is not based on class or position or occupation, but on God's purpose. It's based on God's design to bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people, not just the privileged, but also the lowly, especially the lowly and humble and poor, ordinary people like the shepherds. So let's dig a little deeper into God's peace today. And there are three thoughts that I would like to share with you about his peace. And I wish to share the first thought with you, which is peace comes in the midst of our storms. That's where peace comes, in the midst of our storms. You'd probably agree that this has been another year of storms, both figuratively with the coronavirus and all the ripple effects that came with it, but also literally. I mean, it's been another season busy with hurricanes and violent storms. And so let me ask you, how is your Christmas season going? How's it going with your life? Is it busy? Is it frantic? Hectic? Is it like a mini storm? Or maybe a full-scale hurricane? What kind of turbulence do you have in your life? And what is robbing you of your peace? Is it an overloaded schedule? Is it maybe a relational conflict or pressure at work, or maybe you need to have surgery, or maybe you're recovering from surgery. Maybe it's an illness, or maybe the new COVID variants are making you very, very anxious. Most of us, I think, have plenty of options to choose from when someone asks us, what's robbing you from your peace? Especially in this year of the storm. What I'm saying is, for many of us, peace sounds like a long way off, you know, like a good idea, a nice thought for the holidays, something we really long for. So I want to encourage you, and I want to tell you, that Jesus shows up when the storms of life threaten our peace and our hope and our joy. He's there with us when Love seems lost and the way forward is totally unclear. This is where God appears. This is where the Christ child is born. This is where the angels show up in the middle of Israel's dark night of Roman oppression and centuries of suffering and wondering, where is God? That's where he shows up. He shows up in the middle of a world turned upside down for a young Jewish couple who found themselves at the center of cosmic events, while at the same time trying to navigate the normal realities of paying their dues by traveling by foot across the country to be counted by the government, and having to experience childbirth for the first time, far away from home and the care of women and midwives who would have guided Mary through this painful process. And then being first-time parents, not only with the joys and wonder and fear and responsibility of having their first son, but God's son. And if you're a new parent, or if you can remember, you know exactly what I mean. So listen, this is where God showed up in all of these circumstances, in all of these struggles. And this is where God continues to show up for you and me, in our pain, in our fears, in our confusion, in our grief, in our loss, in our uncertainty, in our storms. God's peace comes in the midst of our storms. And I don't know every hardship that you are facing today, or every grimace of pain that you are feeling, but God does. And he is here bringing peace to calm your heart. Peace that defies our circumstances, which is the next point that I want to make. It's a peace that challenges the situations we find ourselves in. It's a peace that defies our circumstances. So maybe you're thinking, you know, that's great for you to say, Pastor. And it certainly sounds nice. But you don't really know what's going on in my life, do you? And you have really no idea how much it really hurts. And you're right, I don't exactly know. What I know, though, is that I've been there too. I have. And what I know is that God knows what you're going through. And so again, I want to encourage you, because there is a peace that is deeper than the hurt you have in your life right now. There is a peace that defies your circumstances. And God's peace, you know, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't. But it is real, and it is healing. And it can guard your heart from ongoing wounds. And it can protect your mind from the onslaught of anxiety. And this is how the Apostle Paul describes it in Philippians 4. He says, rejoice, be glad in the Lord always. Say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is not far, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He's saying to you and me today, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Go ahead, tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done for you. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You see, no matter what we're facing, this process of finding peace begins when you turn to God. When you bring your hurts and your questions, when you bring your doubts and your whys and all your needs, when you bring them to Him. And listen, I'm honest when I say that I don't fully understand it. I don't understand it. But there is a power in prayer and a transformation that grows from gratitude. It's not the power of getting exactly what we want all the time or convincing God to see it all our way every time. I mean, you can try, and I'm sure God will listen to you. But much more than that, the power of prayer happens in this experience of peace. As your perspective changes, and as you find an understanding that God is with you no matter what, and when you acknowledge and when you accept that He's got this, and when you believe that He can be trusted and that He is enough because His peace defies our circumstances. And so the last thing I want to share with you today is this. Peace is a person. It all comes back to a person. Peace is a person. Peace is Jesus. It says in Ephesians 2 verse 14, Christ Himself is our peace. Jesus Christ Himself has brought peace to us. And long before His arrival on earth, the prophet Isaiah called Jesus the Prince of Peace. He said, a child has been born for us. We've been given a son who will be our ruler. And His names will be Wonderful Advisor and Mighty God, Eternal Father and Prince of Peace. His power will never end. He will rule David's kingdom and make it grow strong. He will always rule with honesty and justice. The Lord All-Powerful will make certain that all of this is done. Now, when you listen to that, there are political-sounding tones to this message by Isaiah, and you can see why the Jews who wanted their political freedom and independence were eager to see a political Messiah. And more importantly, there are tones of the completion of Christ's work and His eventual establishment of God's kingdom. But most of all, this child that is born, this son that is given to us, brings the power and rule of His peace into our personal lives. He's the bringer of peace between us and God. He's the sacrificial lamb, the giver of life. He's the embodiment of shalom, of wholeness that we find in relationship with Him. And He has come to be with us. And so in the second week of Advent, why don't we look for the Prince of Peace? Yes, we have hurricanes and pandemics and fierce storms in the world and in our lives. But even when the winds blow and the storms swirl, Let us seek the one who gives peace that transcends all of that. Let us all come to Jesus and worship him like the shepherds, even when we find ourselves in the darkness or the storms. Let us come to him because he is here. The Prince of Peace is with us. And so may Jesus be your peace this week. May he guard your soul with peace. May he fill your spirit with the wholeness of shalom. And may he rule as the Prince of Peace in your heart. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you embody hope. Hope in the midst of our uncertainty. Thank you that you embody peace. Peace in the midst of our struggles. Thank you that you are peace. And I pray that we all will seek you as the Prince of Peace. That you will rule our hearts and our minds as we believe in you and walk with you. That you indeed will give us the peace we all need, the peace we all desire in the storms that we find ourselves in, not just today, but the storms of yesterday and the storms that will come tomorrow. Thank you for your peace, God, in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.